Always a long fall from the top, isn't it?
Easy, Wes.
I've been waiting to say this to you for a long time, honey.
All right.
Deep down in my stomach, with every inch of me, I pure, straight, hate you. But goddammit, do I respect you.
Thank you,
brother.
Why are you standing here? Don't you have a wheelbarrow you're supposed to be jumping into?
Oh, man.
Today we spell redemption.
W-F-O-D.
Bass and stills in the building, flash the camera. I'ma drop the hammer. Things done changed, the hip-hop sizzling and Bobby out the slammer. Hip-hop start on the East Coast and then move west down to Bama. I'ma bring it back to New York, roll those blunts and throw your hands up. Pass me a cup of the goose in the club with the juice in the bug getting bent out. Then I'ma slide with a dime to my ride and head up to my penthouse. Oh, I'm not trying to take it slow. Working hard, cake and dough. Open up 24.
Moving on, this is from at WFO Dix. All right, that does sound suggestive. I'm not going to give you a whack just yet to get you to smarten up. Went across the noggin how to do you well, but let's move on. Dear everybody's dad, does anal feel like pooping? I don't quite know what that means, but if that is suggestive too, I owe you two. But now here's an interesting thing. This is someone else wrote back on the tweeter, at Army Strang, and they essentially answered this person's question. They said, at WFO Dix, it's basically reverse butt sex. I don't know what this means or if you two are trying to get one over on your father, but I got a couple of answers for both of you. Watch it! And you watch it! Both of you! With the suggestions. I think that was suggestive. If not, I'm sorry that I hit you. I love you very much.
Welcome to the Wheelbarrow Full of Dicks Internet Radio Program. I am Mike. I'm joined, of course, by my co-host, Napier.
What's up?
And via Skype, Mr. Travis Hulse.
Woohoo!
Phone number to contact the show is 636-487-HAND or WFOD show on Skype. We got one heck of a program for you tonight.
Excellent.
So much to discuss. Travis, what's the timer at over there?
Bittersweet, I lost. It in the last 5 seconds, it jumped $65 and went for $214.50.
It went up $65 in the last 30 seconds?
Yep, I got outbid with like 10 seconds left, and then in those last like handful of seconds, it shot up to $199 and up to $214.50.
Travis, when he got on the Skypes to talk to us, told us to keep him occupied to keep him from bidding on a $155 comic book. There was a pause in the conversation. I think I went to go get a refill on my beverage. And in that time, Travis, he didn't have any voices stimulating his brainwaves, and it made him click the button.
That's right. I take the stimulation however I can get it, and that point it was bidding more money than I wanted to spend on something I kind of thought was cool.
So what are you going to do with that $155 now?
I'm
burning a hole in your pocket.
I mean, it's in my PayPal account. I just didn't want to empty my PayPal account, you know, eBay fees and all that shit. So, no, it's going to sit there now. I've learned my lesson.
You could just, like, screenshot the cover that has the autographs on it and, like, print a picture of it and frame
but
it.
But I couldn't hold on to it. Let me tell you, the one saving grace here was that it costs, like, $20 to $30 to grade a comic book. So that was part of it. And then Stan Lee charges between $100 and $150 per signature now.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is it because he's got such a filmography?
Well, because he's, you know, it's Marvel Comics. But he, his convention traveling, I believe, is over this year. I think he said that the guy is like 90 years old. So he's done with conventions, so I'm sure private signings is all you're going to get. But
yeah, I would imagine that if you got the celebrity death pool, Stan Lee's is a good bet. The only problem is he probably wouldn't be worth very much points because he's so close to 100. I know the Doug Stanhope one. It's 100 points minus whatever their age is. Lee's like 93, so you'd only get 7 points out of him. The good news is, though, is like he's one of the only celebrities left. Everybody's died this year, so
it's Stan Lee and Bruce Willis are the only two people alive after 2016.
It's a bloodbath out there on celebrities this year. Who died? Was it the chick, the Brady Bunch mom?
Yep.
Yeah, the Brady Bunch mom just died.
Yeah, she fucking died. It's a big year for celebrity death. The celebrity death pools probably got like record numbers, I would think.
Well, there was a horror after the Brady Bunch mom died, Florence Henderson. There was a hilarious and also grind my teeth kind of like meme, which was tic tac toe, you're dead. It was the whole center section of the Brady Bunch like TV family. The dad and then the
X gets the square.
Yeah, is the dad and the mom and then the housekeeper. They're all dead and they're right down the middle. So,
Travis, I got up on Thanksgiving morning. I watched the Macy's Day Parade. You watch the Macy's Day Parade? Yeah. Everybody lip syncing and on their little rafts and stuff.
Tony Bennett did not lip sync.
They all lip sync, Travis. None of them are actually singing.
You got to watch the replay of that. Tony Bennett was totally singing because he was really off key.
Tony Bennett was like, fuck you guys.
I don't lip sync. Kiss my ass.
The only guy off key was Tony Bennett. Everybody else was spot on.
It was so gross, too, to watch like those country acts and like the YouTube sensations. They're sitting on those floats with like a guitar, not even playing. Not obviously not singing, and they have like all these background instrumentals, but there is not a drum kit in sight to be playing these fucking drums. So obviously they're lip syncing and pretending to play the guitar.
If you're an up and coming artist and you're up there lip syncing and like on the Ninja Turtles float, like, do you feel silly, or is it like it's such exposure and so many people are hearing your song and Shazamming it that it's worth doing? Well, you just feel like a total douche.
Up-and-comers probably all lip-sync, you know, 40% of the time anyway, so it's probably nothing new.
Remember when Milli and Vanilli lost their careers over lip-syncing?
Yeah.
That shit don't happen anymore. Nobody gives a fuck.
But I see the difference is I don't think they even sang on their album. I think
it wasn't them at all.
But I'm watching this parade, and I see the Ronald McDonald float go by, and it's this giant Ronald McDonald that they blow up and they roll him down the road, and I'm thinking to myself, what do they do with Ronald McDonald the rest of the year? I'm sure they deflate him and they roll him up, but it's still got to be really big. So where do they keep him? Where do they put, do they rent a storage unit?
Yeah, they have storage units for all of those floats. I think they actually broke down and gave some of the details last year about like the Sonic the Hedgehog float and like the Snoopy float and what the hell they did with them on the off. But that's all it was. They put them in like an airplane hangar or something.
Yeah, they just hang out.
Oh, they get an airplane hangar and they fill it up with all the different balloons.
Yeah, just shove them in a corner and just wrap them in some kind of giant bag so they don't get eaten by fucking mice, and then break them back out in November.
I think they vacuum seal them.
That'd be the smart thing to do. to grab that as seen on TV vacuum sealer that you just hook up the vacuum cleaner hose to and suck all the air out. Like you
can those vacuum seal things, and I wonder if that would be a fun thing to do. Get one of those vacuum seal things and suck all the air out of stuff and then put it on a shelf.
After you put your lady in there, right?
Just to try it out.
No, they got sexy things for that. You
put in the sack and just suck all the air out of it.
Yeah, they got little bondage outfits for them. You get your lady all naked in the bondage outfit, then you use the little sucker to take all the air out, and then it becomes like a skin tight, like immovable, like a cellophane layer.
Let me ask you, but the idea there would be that eventually you would want to boof, right? And then what do you got to get out the vacuum and reverse it and blow all the old air into her? And
I'm just curious, if that is how you murdered somebody, if you stuck them in one of those giant vacuum sealable pouches and that's how they died, how long would it take for like the stench to actually creep out of that vacuum sealed bag?
No, there's like a mask that you wear. And the mask sucks onto your face, then you can't like get out of it. But you can still breathe and shit.
You mean eventually something will pop that bag?
No. There's like holes cut out for your face, and you like put some kind of glue or some shit on.
I don't want to do that. I'm talking about straight up murdering with the traditional vacuum sealer.
Well,
I'm talking about straight up murder.
You take how long it? Well, they advertise those steaks can keep for months, right? Like, you're mostly made of steak.
I mean, I would imagine they'd have to be refrigerated, though.
Yeah, you got to find a good deep freezer.
I'd just say let this body rot in that vacuum-sealed pouch and see what happens.
How much do you think it would cost for, like, a 6-foot chest freezer? Probably not that much.
Well, it's $400, probably.
Yeah, that's a good investment. When you kill
I bet you I could get it cheaper.
Guys, STL on the Twitters is here. Hi, Drunk.
What up?
How are you?
Very well.
Did you have a good Thanksgiving?
It was amazing.
What did you do?
Went to the ladies in the afternoon and went to my family's in the evening.
Oh, yeah? What does the ladies' parents think of you? They think you're an upstanding gentleman?
Absolutely. Why would they not?
Well, I guess they wouldn't tell you, would they? They wouldn't be like, hey, man, we think you're a fuck.
Yeah, I mean, they're cordial enough when I'm around, so...
But you don't get a vibe?
No. Her parents are pretty laid back.
They're laid back?
Yeah.
Is that code for something?
Is that where you get your weed?
No. No.
Hey, as long as she's out of the house, right?
You know, Drunk, you're our favorite customer. Have you met our daughter?
We're just trying to arrange a marriage.
They asked... In the chat, somebody showed up late. By the way, don't show up late. You get here on time. And he asked what he missed, and Anchor replied, Travis didn't win a comic book on eBay. That about sums it up. That's that's what you missed. Are you guys caught up on Walking Dead?
Nope.
Yeah, I was super excited for an entire episode on Tara.
This season of The Walking Dead, every week they're finding a new society, Travis. Every week it's like, oh, we found this whole new group of people for you to give a shit about.
What happened the entire time before Negan when they were at Alexandria for like a year that they never found a fucking soul?
Right. Nobody was there. They were just doing their whole thing. Now every week they trip over a goddamn rock and there's another society of people.
Oh,
where are these people coming from?
I guess we didn't go the extra 50 yards in this direction the last time we were out here to find these 400 people hanging out.
They had this fella that has a pet tiger, and he was all colorful and fun, and they talked to him for an episode, and now we haven't seen him for a month because we got to introduce all these other societies, too. This guy hasn't been back in a month. Where is he?
Doing his tiger thing.
You know what's the fun thing about most other shows is they'll like intercut different locations into one episode. And The Walking Dead says, no, you know what? Fuck you. You like this one episode? It's going to be 3 weeks before you see another glimpse of this person because we're going to give you all these other side stories that are happening at the same time.
They said, hey, you like this tiger guy? He's pretty cool, right? You ain't going to see him for 2 months.
Sounds like filler.
We got to go to this other place where there's all these broads making stuff in a crock pot.
Is it edible?
It's fish.
Oh, well, yeah, that's fine.
It's fine. What else is going on?
I have gas.
Oh.
Oh, Christ. I hope this devolves into one of those conversations.
Travis, I've been stuck on this game on my phone.
What game are you playing, Mike?
It's called Panda Pop.
Is it like the Balloon Pop game?
It is the Balloon Pop game, except there's a panda that throws the balloons, and you match three of a color, and then they go away. You know, the game's been around forever. It's every game is basically the same thing. Match three of a color, and they go away, and you clear off enough. But this one has a evil, scheming, child-abducting baboon.
Ooh,
and what a fuck.
This baboon keeps stealing this panda's babies.
I would kill that baboon if I was that panda.
And then the panda has to throw their balls up to release its babies from the balloon that the baboon is keeping its babies in. And, you know, the thing is, the mom panda that is throwing the balls, she's got a big fucking smile on her face until you get under 10 moves, and then she starts panicking. But, I mean, wouldn't I'd be you? Panicking the whole time, right? I mean, you know, my babies are in little balloons. They look like they can't breathe. And I'm throwing balls at them to release them from their balloon enclosure.
Well, who do you think put them in the balloons?
The baboon did.
Are you sure?
This baboon, he just likes taking babies and putting them in balloons.
Maybe the mama panda did it, and she's an asshole. The baboon's trying to save him.
No, he's an evil baboon.
How can you tell?
Because they make that clear. He has evil face. He's got a bad guy face.
Oh, he doesn't have, like, a smile on him or nothing?
No, he's an evil baboon. You look at that baboon, you say, that's a bad baboon. So you throw these the balloons, and you get your babies free. And that's the game. But now I'm getting into the higher levels where there's these death gas balloons. And if I hit a death gas balloon, then the whole goddamn level's over, and it fills with this death gas, and all my babies choke on the death gas.
No, that doesn't sound... They should take that out of there. Nobody wants to play that level.
It sounds a little morbid.
It is, really, if you think... I think that a lot of these games are pretty fucking morbid if you think about it. I mean, the Angry Birds are suicide bombers, basically, right? Yeah. They're all flinging their bodies into the air to crash into things, and then they just die, don't they?
Yeah, they disappear. They're gone.
I mean, if you really think about it, all this shit's pretty fucked up. Baboons, are they enemies of pandas? I've never heard that before.
I think the baboon is enemy to all of Mother Nature.
I was about to say, I agree with that.
Baboons are just assholes?
Oh, yeah, they're dicks.
Yeah.
They're like, we need an asshole character to interact with this panda.
You ever seen like 15 of them like swarm a car and like...
Yeah, but I mean, I just see them as being baboons. I don't see them as necessarily like having nefarious plots to abduct children.
No, they all do. That's why they got those creepy little butts on them.
Do you think somebody came up with the name Panda Pop before they came up with the actual game or the evil baboon?
No,
I mean, name was probably first, right? They were like,
yeah, it's probably based on a carbonated beverage in Japan.
Yeah, they both start with P. This will be fun.
Yeah, you got to start with your premise first.
Yeah.
Premises, you're popping balloons with a panda.
But the suggestion that I would have is I think the mama panda should look distressed the whole time, not just when she only has 10 moves left. Because now we're in the land of death gas. And any move could be the last move, you know. So wipe that smile off your face and save your babies. And I'd also say, this bitch has too many fucking babies.
So we're certain it's a mother panda and not a father panda?
It's a mother panda.
It's a little effeminate when you look at the photo.
Yeah, that you look at that, I think it has eyelashes. You know, that's cartoon for female, eyelashes.
Okay.
You know, I speak fluent cartoon.
I believe you.
In the game, does the panda lady have boobies? Because it looks a little furry.
On its boobs?
Yeah, it looks kind of like a furry cartoon.
Oh. Panda Pop was a line of fizzy drinks, but it was scrapped in 2012.
Well, thank God it's back in the form of a iPhone game.
Some guy had the trademark for it, and he's like, what am I going to do with this now?
Got to do something with this shit.
Let's make another one of them bubble-popping games, guys. Travis got really into Mafia Wars. You remember when he told us that story about how he got really obsessed with Mafia Wars and like was in a whole bunch of Mafia gangs?
Didn't you play that on like the old Texas Instruments calculator?
I think I had it on like the first iPhone, and I spent many a work days doing nothing but playing Mafia Wars. But I think Travis got to a whole different level of Mafia Wars. Travis was like a kingpin.
Yeah, I had like 500 people in my guild, and they were all from Guam.
Bunch of, what do you call people from Guam?
Guamanese?
Guamanese? Guamers?
Guamans.
So, Guamans? Travis, do you think you could get back into it and still be the leader?
No, I think it's probably defaulted by now. The shit, you're talking 5+, well, probably more than that, probably 8-9 years ago already.
Yeah, they've probably surpassed you by a long shot.
Yeah, and I gave all my shit away to everybody in my little clan before I defriended all of them, so I don't have
anything.
Do you
reckon remember your username and password?
No.
You know, a lot of people, they sell their video game accounts, don't they?
Yeah, sometimes.
There's people make pretty good livings doing the old Warhammer and shit, right? Or Warcraft or whatever? Do they build up their characters and then sell them off?
It used to be bigger.
Christmas Face in the chat says, are there even 500 people living in Guam? I think there's exactly 500, and Travis was friends with every single one.
Every one of them, yep. They did seem to all know each other, so.
They all would just meet up at work, and they'd be like, hey, did you talk to Travis earlier? Yeah, hey, he gave me the golden pistol. He had an extra. That yeah, fucking Travis, man. He's a good guy.
Think he was going to go kneecap somebody in a back alley with a crowbar a little bit later if you wanted to meet up with him.
Travis could probably run for office in Guam. And everybody would be like, I was Facebook friends with that fucking guy.
Yeah, that's he knows how to shoot people in the face. The one thing I liked about Mafia Wars is it was very personal. Like, you knew who fucked with your shit. And you could go after him. Send a hit out.
Oh, yeah,
on
you
him.
Could, like, spend all of the rolls or whatever that you had like on one person and just fucking like annihilate them.
Oh yeah, that was great. I love that part of the game where, you know, it got a little mean-spirited.
The shitty thing about that though is if you decided to like target one person and then they got pissed off and started targeting you, there's like no way out of it except just being like, well, I'm gonna walk away.
Drunk, I do have some items here for you.
These are for me?
Yeah, you want all this stuff?
What is it?
What size shirt do you wear?
I can fit into an XL sometimes.
Do you typically wear an XL or a 2X?
I wear a 2X.
Okay.
That should be a new size, shouldn't it? An XL sometimes? There's large, extra large, and extra large sometimes.
XL and a half? Yeah. Well, that shirt's a size large, Drunk. I don't think any of us are going to fit in a size large. It's the thought that counts, though, right?
Yeah.
I might be able to get that in there. Oh, I like the shirt. Wear it to bed or something.
I'd look like a sausage casing. Just tits everywhere.
We're not a size large group.
It becomes a cum towel.
Did I win this for completing the Hulk hands contest?
Yeah, we'll say that, sure. the Passersby podcast, they did a hot wing challenge.
Oh, is this for me too?
Yeah, you can have that too. Okay. It's opened. So, you know, you just kind of got to go on the faith that the Passersby podcast doesn't want you to die. But
is it pretty warm?
Apparently it's got habaneros in there.
Yeah, I think he had hot wings going up to like level 12. He had like levels 1 through 12, and I think that was level 10.
Can I read this little disclaimer?
Sure.
It says, suggested uses. Be warned, this sauce contains ingredients 500 times hotter than a jalapeno chili. Use sparingly, not recommended for use without dilution.
Yeah. So I think they're basically saying, hey, we have this product, and you shouldn't ever use it ever.
That sounds like what a bottle of Everclear says. This is like straight up says, just do not drink this.
You remember when Domino's Pizza had those commercials? They said, hey, you know those pizzas we've been making you for like the last 30 years? They were fucking terrible. But these new pizzas, they're going to be great.
Remember that dog shit we served you last week? Well, guess what? We're not doing that no more.
But yeah, the Passersby guy, he had a charity event where he was going to eat a bunch of hot wings, and he promoted it for like 2 months. And on the last day, I was like, I should throw $5 at this. You know, this is my pal. He's doing a thing. I mean, I don't have a ton of money to be just giving to people.
Right.
But, you know, I should throw $5 at this thing because my pal's doing a thing.
Mm-hmm.
I sent him $5, and later on that day, he sent me a message that said, "Hey, you won the random drawing for a merch pack." Sweet. I was like, "Oh, cool, great." So I got the box in the mail, and the postage was $7.73. So I cost the charity $2.73.
Well, I appreciate all the swag.
Yeah, so there you go, buddy. And let us know how that hot sauce is.
Put them on my chicken wings tonight.
You're going to go put it on your chicken wings.
Probably not tonight, but, you know.
Yeah. I mean, what do you say we take a break? Do you want to take a break? Is it break time, Travis?
That sounds good. Let's take a break.
If I go on a break, are you going to bid on some goddamn comic book while we're on the break?
Nope, that was the last one that I was super interested in, so I need to focus on selling, not buying. But I'm not going to sell while we go to break.
You got to go refill your beverage and you're going to stay out of trouble?
He's going to get drunk. Open packages of action figures.
Tell Travis you're watching him.
Travis, I'm watching you, buddy.
Don't get yourself in any trouble, Travis.
No trouble over here, guys.
All right, we'll be back in just a minute, guys.
This is Strange Label.
Hey, everybody. I'm Brett.
And I'm Adam. We're with Hot Butter Podcast, a weekly show that discusses things like sex slavery, regular slavery, nipple tassels, nocturnal animal orgies, burgers, our daily acrobatics, music, skunk tail butt plugs, urine, CPR, George Washington Carver, and the good old Funky Fresh. It's just as good as a three-quarter throbby meat stick slamming into a voluptuous awaiting face.
Jesus Christ, Adam. It's almost like you're saying we're like, you know, a really cool breeze over a really warm nibble.
Yeah, it's exactly correct, Brett. It's almost just as good as squeezing out a four-day, piping-hot, no-taper pot can turd into a bucket of ice-cold milk.
You fucking kidding me, man? Okay, I don't know if I can say anything about. Yeah. So we're like the little pepperoni cups on a Stouffer's French bread pizza.
Oh my god, I love those.
It's delicious.
Bubbling hot out of the oven, I just like to place them into my mouth. You know, it's just as similar as like a lace glove on a female model's hand, gracefully embracing the shaft of your warm ball pouch.
All right. I think we've said enough. Find out for yourself. You can listen to the show on strangelabel.com. You can find us at brettandadam.com as well. Boners to the sky.
Oh, look, a leprechaun!
Here is Mike with a quick update on the WFOD Hollywood Fantasy League.
Well, are you sitting down? Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them ended its run last night with $156 million and a 66% Metacritic score. That gives Chris Brakeshow 103 points for the film and 168 overall. Passersby had 169, meaning as it stands now, the Brake Boys are in the rear. Mona has an 81% Metacritic and a whole week left to get us where we need to be. With everyone's first rounders bringing in around 100 and all the rest doing sub-30 business, that 50-plus the Lotus cast got from Trolls might be the determining factor. If Mona hits 123, we win. If it comes in under 95, we lose. Next week, we'll know for sure.
Guys, Zordon needs us!
All right, let's go!
We're here, Zordon!
Whoa, 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 Jason. Noticed you're not. Noticed you aren't wearing any red today.
You know, good on you, Zordon. I wasn't going to say anything, but I totally noticed that.
Yeah, sorry, guys. My mom got it for me for my birthday. She said I need to get past this and vary my wardrobe a bit. Obviously, I can't tell her the real reason, and if she doesn't see me wear it at least a couple times, she'll think I don't like it, and it'll hurt her feelings.
I mean, fuck, at least y'all got some color to work with. People here at school think I'm into Satan or some shit.
Yeah, pretty much nothing cute comes in yellow.
All right, whatever. Rangers, Ivan Ooze has a giant moth creature terrorizing an empty field. You need to stop the... I'm sorry, this is really distracting me. Alpha?
Yes, Zordon?
Can you get him the red cowboy hat?
I'll get it right away!
Yeehaw.
Once again, WFOD. Wheelbarrow full of dicks.
We're back. Hi. Phone number to contact show 636-487 hand or WFOD show on Skype. A selection from Chinese Democracy, Travis. You know that underappreciated Guns N' Roses album that took 15 years to make.
It was really good. It wasn't as good as the hype was going to make it out to be after 15 years, but I really enjoyed that album.
It was okay. It was fine.
Any classics in there?
Yeah, Buckethead.
Buckethead. That Buckethead, that guy puts out like 8 albums a year. That guy just cranks shit out. That guy just like goes in the studio and makes an album one day. And he's like, yep, this is an album. This one's done. He just goes in there and noodles for a while.
So he's a lot like Too Short, where he just goes into the studio and writes rhymes about fucking sluts and pimping them out. And then he's like, there you go. 10 tracks. See you later.
Yeah, I mean, sluts rhymes with butts. Let's do this.
Hey, sometimes you got a shotgun and just throw shit on the wall, see what sticks.
Yeah, but, you know, I mean, well, I guess you gotta make that Skrilla, you know. I guess the struggling musician doesn't have the luxury of waiting around a couple of years. You got to strike while the iron's hot. And if the iron isn't hot, you got to keep striking until it fucking gets hot.
That's right. You hit the studio and write a rhyme. You call it Tramp Hoes Ain't Hard to Find.
You got to be consistent. And if that doesn't work, you start a GoFundMe. Right? That's what you do?
Well, those are ads now.
You start a GoFundMe and you say, hey, guys, like, you know, I need help.
And this is different than a Kickstarter, where a Kickstarter says, hey, you give me a little something, and I'll give you a little something.
See, a Kickstarter is, I'm going to make a thing, and I need help making it. A GoFundMe is like, hey, guys, give me money.
A GoFundMe is, I spent a little bit too much in the club last night and now can't make my rent. Please send my dog to the pound or to the fucking vet.
What about patrons?
Guys, I bought too many of those pop vinyls, and now I don't have enough money for my rent.
There was a Deadpool masked and unmasked, and I made the mistake of buying both of them in duplicates, so I need to eat this month.
Scrambler posted a picture on Twitter the other day. He has a whole Christmas tree with those pop vinyl things on it, like still in the box, like he has all the boxes on.
He didn't take them out of the box to hang them on the tree.
On his Christmas tree. Yeah, he has a pop vinyl in the box Christmas tree.
I was going to say, that sounds pretty cool, actually, if they were out of the box and you made the ornaments out of them, but now I'm trying to picture how they all look in the box against the tree.
It's just a bunch of fucking boxes on a tree.
Probably looks like a giant pop vinyl ad.
I bought one of those things, and I took it out of the box and set it on my counter, because I don't... I mean, like, what good is it in the box? Like, I want to set it out somewhere, and I know it loses its value, but... did it really have any value to begin with? It's an $8 stupid little toy. It's
no, pop vinyls are this generation.
I bought it at Target, Travis.
Yeah, they're this generation's Beanie Babies, so they'll be worth 50 cents in another 2 years.
The Beanie Baby thing, for the longest time, everybody was talking about what an investment that would be and how collectible Beanie Babies are going to be worth so much money and all that shit. But isn't it like anything else? Like, you're spending $155 on a comic book. And really, like, best case scenario, if you ever need money, you can try to sell it back to somebody for what you paid for it.
No, I think that with that book in particular, you have to know how to play, like, the market. And since that was, like, signed by a guy who's going to be dead soon and Paul Rudd and a couple of other cast members, as soon as the sequel to that movie comes out, whoever bought that is going to double their investment.
I mean, we're all going to be dead eventually.
Yeah, but not tomorrow.
Yeah, you just got to hope you're alive to see Ant-Man 2 so you can double your investment on that comic book.
But then what happens if Ant-Man 2 is a critical and box office...
No. You don't wait till the movie comes out. You wait until the first trailer debuts, and that's when you sell it.
When the hype is at its highest?
Yeah, you don't wait till Batman Superman comes out to sell Dark Knight Returns. You sell it when the first fucking trailer comes out before people can be upset about it.
You guys didn't go to...
But isn't the game to wait like 30 years and say, hey, I have this Mickey Mantle rookie card I've been keeping in a shoebox all this time?
No.
No, nobody's going to care about these in 30 years.
No, we got to play the market. So it's just like your 401k. If you set it up to be like when you retirement age, that's great and good, but it's going to have a slow return investment. But what you want to do is diversify into places where it's going to be giving you a bunch of money 10 years before you retire, 15 years before you retire, and then turn that into money for your actual retirement year.
So I have like 7 or 8 boxes of Desert Storm cards downstairs.
I got a box of Desert Storm cards too.
And those damn things aren't worth the cardboard they're printed on anymore.
You gotta get,
where did I go wrong, Travis? When was the sell high on Desert Storm cards?
Well, you got to get George Bush Sr. to sign those things.
But the things from our age, like I got Hot Butter Guy in the chat room saying he has a Sergei Fedorov rookie card. I mean, like, how long are you going to have to wait before Sergei Fedorov rookie cards are worth anything? Because don't we all have Sergei Fedorov rookie? I have Sergei Fedorov rookie cards. They're not worth nothing.
I probably got some.
I'm pretty sure you also have a Ken Reggett card, too, don't you?
Oh, yeah. I got lots of Ken Reggett cards. People saw me coming a mile away because, you know, like the card store guy we used to go to used to save all his Andy Moogs for me. I got a whole bunch of Andy Moogs I got here. You want some Andy Moogs? And he'd sell them to me for 20 cents a piece. I got so many goddamn Andy Moog cards, and they ain't worth a damn nickel.
I got some Fuhr cards back when he played with the Blues. Didn't give a fuck about it when he played in Buffalo.
But that's it. Anchor says Mike doesn't understand scarcity. I understand it. Desert Storm cards, a lot of people have them. But we were promised that Desert Storm cards were going to be collectible.
You were promised that?
We were promised Beanie Babies were going to be collectible. And they're not. They're not worth shit.
I am so happy that fucking craze died. Back in the 90s, I used to go to gun shows with my dad, and they would have Beanie Baby booths set up in the fucking gun show.
Say Beanie Baby booths 5 times fast.
Beanie Baby booths, Beanie Baby booths, Beanie Baby booths, Beanie Baby booths.
The Beanie Babies jumped the shark, though, when McDonald's carried them as a Happy Meal toy.
Oh, and the Princess Diana Beanie Baby?
Is that what happens with everything? Like, now you can buy starter at Walmart, and eventually... Yeah. It just becomes dog shit. And
yeah, OP was a thing, them. Too. And, yeah, also those flip-flops are like $2.95 at Walmart as well.
But, I mean, like, you know, I remember we would go and we'd get Kevin Mitchell rookie cards and David Justice rookie cards. I got a Mike Vernon rookie card because I loved Mike Vernon. I didn't like so much when he got traded to Detroit, but I liked when he played for Calgary. And that's where his rookie card is. And you know, I got all this shit, Travis, and it's not worth jack shit.
Mike,
I got all these starting lineups still in their box all over the fucking place. Nobody wants starting lineups anymore. Todd McFarlane makes them better.
Yes, he does.
Mike, they're precious memories that you hold on to. They're from your childhood. You're supposed to look at them and get whimsy. Do you feel whimsy when you look at them?
I'm supposed to look at them, and that's where its worth is?
Yeah, its value is to you and to you alone.
I just got so much shit that I'm holding on to, hoping that it eventually, you know, is my retirement plan. And it's probably not. I'm probably just going to have a fire, and it's all going to go away. And then I guess it becomes more scarce. So every time one of them burns in a fire, everybody else's goes up in value.
Slightly, but they're only slightly valuable now, so probably not measurable.
I've had that thought. If you bought like every one of a certain thing that you could find and bought them all up, would it eventually become worth anything, or would nobody give a shit because it was worth shit in the first place?
It's like that guy that bought all those copies of Speed on DVD, Travis. Like, what if he just melted down all those copies of Speed into like a big ball and just rolled it down a hill and crashed it into a big rock and shattered it into a million pieces? Like, would that make our DVD copies of Speed that much more valuable every time one bites the dust? It's like that Jet Li movie, The One. You know, he had to go to all the different universes and find all the other Jet Lis.
And murder them.
I need to watch that movie again. I think I remembered liking that movie.
That was a good movie.
Never seen it.
That's the same. That's the plot of the Spider-Verse miniseries with Spider-Man, where they jump to all different universes to try to kill everybody with spider powers.
Thankfully,
I think
Mike,
they stole that plot from the Jet Li, The One movie. Now
Christmas
that I think of it.
Face is saying that it's more hoarding than collecting, but that's a fine line between hoarding and collecting.
I think all collecting really is hoarding.
Yeah, you're just keeping a bunch of shit in your house.
It's hoarding when you have a bunch of worthless things. It's collecting when they're actually valuable. It's like,
but if you watch the show Hoarders, those people say half the time, "My collection of whatever."
Yeah, but they're
so
wrong.
It's all about, you know, eye of the beholder and shit.
Look, nobody has a gambling problem until they lose. If you always win, you don't have a gambling problem.
You know, I remember my friend Chris, his parents had a whole basement full of bookshelves full of VHS tapes. And, you know, I'd go down there and I'd say, why are they keeping all these fucking VHS tapes? You know, what do they got all these for? You can't even really find a VCR anymore. What's all this bullshit for? But, I mean, like, if you think about it, all the goddamn money he probably spent on those VHS tapes, you probably have to keep them just because you have to justify your purchase.
Well, I think we've had this discussion about our DVD collections too. Don't you have a fuck ton of DVDs?
I have a whole room that's only purpose is to house all my DVDs.
It's a massive room.
I made an entire wall into shelves that I shelve all my DVDs on. Those DVDs aren't worth a fucking dollar.
No.
You try to sell all of those on Amazon.com and none of them are worth $5.
And you can easily stream every one of those movies by turning on your
network. Right. Yeah. You get on your phone right now. It's probably on YouTube.
Yeah, for free.
Yeah, next time I can't find something on Netflix, instead of going to Family Video, I'll just call you up. Be like, hey.
Drunk, we're going to have a date sometime this week, and me and you are going to get together, and we're going to watch Jet Li's The One.
You got Independence Day?
I'm sure I do. You mean the new Independence Day?
No, the old one.
I was going to say, the new one, Laura watched it the other day on cable, and she warned me not to watch it because she said it was terrible.
That's a shame.
I mean, the first one wasn't great. I mean,
stop yourself.
Well, I mean, the first one wasn't a good movie.
Welcome to Earth.
Yeah, no, I mean, it wasn't a good movie.
Moments.
But, like, it was a great movie, even though it was a bad movie. Like, San Andreas. We've watched San Andreas 300 times on cable in the past couple of months, and it's a terrible fucking movie. That is a bad movie. San Andreas fucking stinks. But it's a great movie.
I don't know how you go from one to the other. Or are we talking about it's so bad that it's good?
Yeah, I think that's what it is, yeah. I mean, like, you know, the world is falling into chaos. You know, millions of people are falling into giant cracks in the earth that are coming out of nowhere. And we're supposed to give a shit about these two people's, you know, whether or not this divorced couple gets back together. And Paul Giamatti has no purpose in the movie. Usually if there's interlacing storylines, at some point they intersect. Never happened.
Paul Giamatti never met up with The Rock. Why was he even in the movie? The movie was 80% The Rock, 20% Paul Giamatti, but Paul Giamatti and The Rock never have like a phone conversation. They never pass each other on the street. Why was Paul Giamatti in that movie, Travis?
I believe his name's Dwayne Johnson.
It's The Rock.
He's The Rock.
Yeah.
He's never going to be Dwayne Johnson.
He didn't get famous being Dwayne Johnson. He got famous being The Rock. That man dies The Rock.
I'm sorry. I went off on a little thing there. It was unnecessary. You know what I bought on the Black Friday? You know, that Five Below is my favorite store.
Yeah.
I love that Five Below. Got a whole bunch of Bluetooth speakers for $5. I thought they were kind of fun. I'm not going to do anything with them.
Do they work?
Yeah, they're great. They're fun. They're fun little speakers. And I have a whole bunch of them now that, like, you know, I can just turn on at my whim. But I bought... Have you seen those things that you can strap your cell phone to your face?
What?
Yeah, for the 3D effects, yeah.
Yeah, like you can stick your phone in it, and then you strap it to your face and look through like a ViewMaster, so you can watch your phone like while it's strapped to your face. And like you can move your head around, and like the picture will move because you're moving your head around, because it's strapped to your fucking face.
Like how your eyes work?
Yeah. It's kind of like how your eyes work, only it's your phone.
It sounds like a really shitty version of VR.
They had one of those at Five Below, and I bought it, and it's been kind of fun. We've been, like, you know, we've been there's ones on YouTube that you can click on that you can like be like, "Ooh, I'm in the ocean, and there's a spooky shark."
Do you remember when they told us not to sit too close to the TV?
That's what I'm thinking, Travis. That's what I was going to ask you. Are these things going to fuck up my eyes? They are, aren't they?
They'd have to. That makes at least it's going to change us for sure if this actually becomes a thing that everybody does.
But I mean, I'm already kind of looking at my phone, and my phone's right there. I'm just kind of strapping it to my face, so it's not really that much closer, I guess. But there is magnifiers on it.
It just doesn't sound. I mean, I'll use it, and I'm sure I'll love it. But yeah. It's going to change us, just like looking at our phones. Remember when Taco Neck was a thing that Taco Bell used to say, "Ooh, you're gonna love these tacos, but be careful for Taco Neck. You're going to drive into a wall the next time you get behind the wheel because of your Taco Neck."
What the fuck is Taco Neck?
You don't remember that, the commercial?
You don't remember Taco Neck?
Like, why is everybody turning their head side to eat a taco? I don't turn my head sideways to eat a taco.
So what, you turn the taco?
No, yeah. I pick the taco up and I put it in my mouth. I don't turn my head to eat a taco.
Next time you eat a taco, consciously see what you're doing.
No, explain Taco Neck to me. You turn your neck to eat a taco?
Everybody, you got to turn your head because if you turn
Don't say everybody because I don't turn my neck to eat a taco.
I don't turn my neck to eat a taco.
I guarantee you both turn your neck to eat a taco.
You do not eat a taco straight up and down. Your fucking gum.
No, my face is completely... vertical, and I make the taco bend to fit in my mouth. I turn the taco. I don't turn my
taco.
Neck.
All the shit would fall at the top.
What are you talking about? You can't turn a taco. There's only one open side. I'm not turning it upside down. I'm turning it sideways so it fits in my mouth. What are you people talking about?
I don't know what they're on about. I get the soft tacos.
Nate, you're with me, right?
Yeah, these people are insane.
He said he eats soft tacos. It's a completely different thing.
Taco Neck. What the fuck?
I can't believe you don't remember those commercials.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you have to eat your taco and turn your head, apparently.
Christmas Face says, by the time my eyes are fucked up, I'll be able to buy robot eyes. That's probably true. I'm kind of hoping that by the time I get old enough, they've cured death.
Christmas Face ain't got the money for robot eyes, dude.
My phone has a pretty good camera in it.
Travis, we will all have the money to buy robot eyes with all our comic books we've been saving.
Well, your Desert Storm cards are going to be worth something.
Yeah. Once enough houses burn down.
Well, my investment has been thousands of dollars worth of firearms. You've got to
become arsonists, burn everybody's house down that has a collection of something.
Napier's set if, like, there's eventually a run on used goalie gear.
Yeah. Or Brian Elliott somehow gets insanely popular.
Guys, where are we going to get our used goalie gear? Oh, I know a guy.
If Napier needed any, he could liquidate his arsenal. He'd be fine.
Yeah, I got thousands of dollars worth of firearms.
I got in the chat, taco neck is real, you're crazy.
No, cell phone neck is real.
This was like an advertisement campaign?
Yes.
Did Taco Bell convince everyone they needed to turn their head sideways?
No, they said you do turn your head sideways, but be careful because you're going to eat so many dollar menu tacos.
They sell their sloppy-ass tacos, and if you fuck up eating it, that's on you, not on us, because we told you to turn your head sideways.
How dare you besmirch the name of Taco Bell like
that? I mean, it's a sloppy product. I mean, there's a lot of saucy items that can fall out. Sure, it's a risk, but that's why they give you a wrapper. You angle the wrapper underneath you. So that if something falls out of it, it lands in the wrapper. And then you can form all of the remaining items into a little pile and scoop it up with your mouth.
Yeah, or let your dog eat it.
You might as well buy a fucking taco salad then, if you're going to let all this shit fall out.
The stuff that's left over, you got to eat. You're not going to, you're just going to crumble that up in the wrapper?
No.
If you use your fucking taco neck,
it's not going to come out.
But then my neck will be fucked up.
God gave you a taco neck for a reason, Mike.
Look, what you guys got to understand is the stuff that falls out of the taco, that's the weakness in the taco. You don't want none of that.
There is no weakness in a Taco Bell taco.
Then why doesn't it stay together when you eat it right?
No, you guys are eating it wrong.
No, we're eating it smart.
Well, you're out of the conversation because you already said you eat soft shell tacos.
They're good. They're better.
Yeah, that has nothing to do with this.
Yeah, no, I like a crunchy taco myself.
Me too, baby.
I'll eat a soft taco. Like if somebody orders 10 soft tacos and that's what's there, I will have no fucking problem eating soft tacos till the cows come home. But like if you give me a choice, crunchy or soft, I'm probably going to take crunchy.
I combine them. We make tacos at home and we always do double-decker tacos. You make that refried beans, you spread a little bit of that on the soft shell taco and you shove a hard shell taco in there.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, those are good.
Anchor's got a full box of unopened packs of Desert Storm cards you can buy on eBay for $7. And you might be able to find that special Saddam Hussein card. That's the one that you want, right? And he's dead now, right? So it's probably worth more.
I thought it was the Norman Schwarzkopf. That's the one you wanted.
That was the gold foil edition.
Yeah.
Don't you think it'd be creepy if you were that dude? He knew some people were making cards out of you for shooting at folks. That'd be creepy to me.
Would you want one?
Yeah, of course.
I mean, like, let's say you're Saddam Hussein.
Yeah, I'm Saddam Hussein.
And you find out that America is making pro-set trading cards that have, like, you and your generals on them. You want some of those, right? You want to see them.
At least one. I mean, you know, keeping one of those little screw-on things that keeps your cards fresh.
They're only a dollar at Walmart, might as well, right?
It's like why you know, our shout out episode was so popular, Travis. Like, you know, we told everybody, hey, your name is said in this podcast, and everybody's like, wonder what that said about me.
That's the same reason people Google themselves to see what pops up.
Yeah, that's the same thing as the pro-set Saddam Hussein. I'm sure he had some.
Could you imagine Saddam Hussein back in the day sitting like cross-legged with a bunch of his underlings, like doing the need 'em, got 'em, need 'em, got 'em, need 'em, need 'em, need 'em, got 'em with the Desert Storm?
What if he had an autographed Saddam Hussein Desert Storm card? Think that'd be worth some money?
Yeah.
Guys, last year, the last 10 days of December, StrangeLabel.com did a very special thing. They played a very Napier Christmas. I say they like it isn't me. Guys, I'm they.
How was the response to the very Napier Christmas?
I loved it.
I loved it as well.
My wife loved it.
And so StrangeLabel.com again this year will do a very Napier Christmas.
And there are so many more karaoke's now.
Basically, if you enjoy listening to shows on Strange Label, that week, don't bother, because there won't be any shows, except the live ones. The live ones will probably still go live, and I guess the ones that are scheduled at a certain time, they'll still go at their scheduled time, but the rest, the replays, they're gone. All you're going to hear is Napier carols.
And they're going to be horrible.
So we have another whole year of Napier Karaoke's to add to the playlist. And that's what you'll hear. The last 10 days of December will be nothing but Napier singing songs. And so I'm letting you know now, if there's any songs that you would like to request
or really don't want in there
for a very Napier Christmas, get them in now, guys.
Didn't I do Christmas Shoes last year for drunk, a Napier Christmas?
Drunk. It's not a very drunk Christmas.
But I still think you put it in there.
I know I didn't, because Napier isn't on it. The last 10 days of December are Napier.
The only way we're getting in on this is if we sing a duet with Napier. Napier.
Yeah, yeah. Like when you and him did Leather and Lace. It's in there.
That's quality.
Yeah, that was good.
But everything.
Remember when we tried to sing that Fast and Furious song when Drunk left the last time? Whatever happened to that? The See You Again song?
Oh, I don't remember. I don't think it turned out very good.
Oh, we don't weigh Napier anymore because Mike got tired of the joke.
Oh, we can start that again next week. Next week, we're going to weigh Napier again.
I think we get tired of all the jokes, really.
Yeah, we get tired of things really quickly around here. Guys, is there something that we used to do that you remember and you want us to do it again? Guys, let us know. You say, hey, guys. Anchor in the chat says Napier and Mandy should do Baby It's Cold Outside.
I think me and Mandy did
Drunk and Mandy did Baby It's Cold Outside.
Except that was me with Wolverine voice.
Yeah, like a year or two ago.
That was pretty funny.
Drunk got real rapey with it too.
Yeah, we hate repeating ourselves. But let me repeat what I just said. If there's something that we used to do that you miss, you let us know, and maybe, you know, we take requests. We're those kind of guys.
But I mean, to reiterate.
What about the people, Travis?
To reiterate, we hate repeating ourselves. Yeah. Just to say that one more time.
I kind of miss the good old-fashioned Napier bomb. We don't get those.
You mean back when Napier was funny?
Yeah.
Yeah, if you send us the request, make Napier funny again, I don't think we can do that.
And that's going to be hard.
That's kind of what he just said, isn't it?
Yeah.
Good. I really remember back in the day when Napier said funny things all the time. You remember that? That was awesome.
Yeah, that was fun. I remember.
You remember?
Don't look at me like that. He's the one that said it.
I'm not disagreeing with him. You didn't hear me say anything bad about it. You know what we need to do? Get some beef going. Then I can try to talk you out of smack talking, folk.
I mean, I can start a variety of beefs pretty quick. Stop with the fucking GoFundMe accounts and drive some pizzas. Just drive some pizzas. Pizza guys will take anybody. You get a job working 6 to 9, a couple days a week. You fund whatever the fuck you want. You make tips. You make a decent wage. Stop with the GoFundMes. Drive some pizzas.
Hey, sell some shit.
Yeah, sell some shit. You got so much shit in your house, it's not worth nothing. Get rid of it. Declutter your life, make some money, and fund whatever the fuck you want. There you go. That's a good one. And Passersby Podcast guy, he's a drama queen. He needs to fucking stop it.
What's he
Every day, it's a new goddamn drama with that fucking guy.
What'd he do?
I don't know. Today, his whole thing was he was talking. See, now his show, it's an interview show.
Excellent.
And every week, he has somebody on that tells a story.
And interesting
stories? And
then he asks
them a couple of questions at the end, and that's the show. And he was saying today that, you know, the show isn't about him, it's about the guest, and he doesn't even introduce himself and blah, blah, blah. And no, you're the constant, you're the guy doing the show, it's your show. So if somebody comes back week after week, they're coming back to hear your show that you do, and they want to hear who's Matt talking to this week.
So is it fake humble?
It's fake humble is what it is. Yeah, it's bullshit. And every day it's a new goddamn drama with that fucking guy. Like the other day, he was talking about how, you know, hey, we're on episode 60, and, you know, we're thinking about, you know, closing the doors on episode 100. What do you guys think? And they want somebody to say, he wants somebody to say, oh no, don't close the door at 100. But if you really think about it, that's 40 weeks from now.
Mm-hmm.
So shut up. You start talking about episode 100 when you're on episode 95.
Or at least, you know, 90.
And if you don't want to do a podcast, if it's too much trouble, then fucking stop doing it. Don't send out a poll asking people, hey, do you think we should keep doing this podcast? Say, I don't want to do the podcast anymore. And then stop.
What episode are we on?
Oh, we're on like, I think this is 281.
Should we call it quits at 300?
I was going to say 500.
Okay, 500.
I was inviting people to be guests on our remaining 220 shows.
There you go. I like it.
So, I mean, like, you know, the slots are filling up quick, guys. If you want to be a guest on this show, you only have 220 more weeks.
We should do like 3-4 episodes a week just so we can get it done with quicker.
No, I enjoy doing the show, and that's why I enjoy doing the show. I don't give a fuck if you guys like this show or not. I like it.
Yes, you do. You do.
Oh, no, I totally do. You're right. That was bullshit. I want everybody to like it. But more than anyone, I want to like it. And I like our show. I like doing it. I like you guys. I like putting the things together. And that's the most important thing.
There was a lull there for a little bit after we hung up the microphone for about 8 straight weeks. Oh, that was a turd. That was a piece of shit.
Well, we're in a good place now.
We are in a great place now.
And you know what? I'm not going to post a poll asking if people want us to keep doing the show or not. We're just going to keep doing it until we don't want to. No, we're not going to. Then it's going to be over.
You know what you should do? Create a poll that says, should we stop at episode 500 and just leave it up there until episode 500? Let the dice fall where they may.
That'll go on our another bit that we tired of quickly, our weekly poll page.
Nobody really did anything with it.
Oh, we did a weekly poll, and people voted on the poll, but then we got tired of it, so now it just sits there.
Yeah, we also did Dr. Napier until you got angry at me answering the questions correctly.
We do a Dr. Napier. See, no, the thing with Dr. Napier is, like, our interaction really kind of dried up. And it was like, you know, every week it was like Anchor, and then I had to bug Mandy to write a question. And it was like, oh, Anchor and Mandy asked questions for Dr. Napier. And it wasn't fun anymore.
It's been a while since a Detective Napier, too, right?
Yeah.
That timeline is all... They've Napier fuckered up that timeline so bad. Yeah, how would you even out of that?
Like, we got tired of it, Travis. Like, we got tired of a timeline. We didn't know what to do with it anymore. And we just started a whole new timeline.
No, I recorded something, and then Mike hasn't put it together yet.
We're the wheelbarrow full of attention deficit disorder. We don't really make any sense.
This is like the Flash trying to explain like what Flashpoint is when he went back in time and changed the timelines. It's like Detective Napier every week was like a different fucking universe.
Yeah. One of these days, we're going to not enjoy doing this anymore. And when that day comes, then we're not going to do it anymore.
Oh, yeah. What about my talking dick? That was good.
What?
Didn't we have something where somebody's penis talked?
Yeah, we did that for a while.
Awesome. They made a movie then. That's done.
We should have Detective Napier start a Quantum Leap series.
Travis, how come when somebody does something similar to us, we just like tuck our tail between our legs and just say, ah, well, I guess we won't do that anymore. Like, we thought of Flat Drunk first.
Somebody else is doing Flat Drunk?
Yeah, Howard Stern started the Flat Ronnie contest. And then we just stopped doing it because we're like, oh, I guess if Howard Stern is doing it, then we should stop. Fuck Howard Stern. We did it first.
I don't think he's paying attention to us.
I know. But our fear was that people would see it and say, oh, they're copying Howard Stern. Even though we have the proof that we did it first, nobody's going to wait for our explanation. They're just going to decide in their mind.
Well, you should say it's the annual one and then...
What I'm saying is, Drunk, we can have guests on the show and have guest-driven content,
mm-hmm.
but people tune in from week to week to hear our show.
Correct.
And your meltdowns.
People might see a guest that they like and tune in. That's the point. Correct. Is kind of, you know, to cross promote,
right?
And they see this person and they like this person, so they listen to our show and maybe they'll stick around,
right? The spike since Joe Exotic's been on has been
but
crazy.
The people coming back week to week want to hear our show. It's our show, So if you have a guest-driven show, people want to hear you interact with other people or just do your own show. We don't advertise who our guest is ahead of time. We just do the fucking show.
No, we do sometimes. Like the day of.
Very rarely do I tell people ahead of time that there's going to be a guest on.
Well, yeah, because sometimes in the middle of the show when we're expecting them, we might get their publicist calling and saying, oh, sorry, they're still hosting a TV show. Can we do this later?
So if you're listening to the Passersby podcast, you want to hear who Matt's talking to. You're like, oh, who's Matt talking to this week? You're not like, ooh, I like this show where there's different people talking every week. That's fucking stupid. Like, you might turn into an episode of Marc Maron because you like the guest, but a lot of people just listen to Marc Maron every week, no matter who the guest is, because they like Marc Maron.
He is a rather funny fellow.
And if you don't follow that logic, then fuck you.
Mike, the people love your rants. We should just pour sangria down your gullet until something makes you angry about the world.
I feel like what he does is he throws out drama hooks to see who nibbles. Like he does this like every day. He has like a poll, like, you know,
so you feel
should I replace the host of the Passersby podcast with a shovel? And then like people are like, yeah, that'll be funny to answer that you should replace the host with a shovel. And then like he gets pissed off. He's like, what, you guys want to listen to a shovels podcast?
That would be amazing, actually.
No! It was a joke, you asshole!
This is what you do. You get your guest on there, and you tell him the only way you're communicating with him is by pounding the shovel on his concrete patio out back, so the guest will say something. He'll go, clang, 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 if he likes it, and if he doesn't, goes, clang, 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 clang.
But I like that guy. I've had pleasant conversation with him. He's a nice guy.
You don't seem to like his show, though.
He just irritates the shit out of me on almost a daily basis.
So that's why you don't want the shirt.
No, I don't fit in a size large. There's not a goddamn chance, Trump. And I don't want to. I do really appreciate him sending us the merch pack that he sent us. It was nice. He sent us a hand turkey. He's a nice fella.
Don't like the drama?
No. And the thing is, I do kind of like the drama. I enjoy a good drama. But like when you post something like that, you throw out that drama hook. I'm going to nibble on it. I can't resist it. I'm urged all the time by mutual friends. God, Mike, you know it's just a drama hook. Why do you got to bite on it?
It's like clickbait.
I do. I gotta bite it every goddamn time.
It's like instinct.
Yeah.
Can't help yourself.
You bait me with drama meat. I'm going to bite it. I am. I can't not.
No, that dog eating that pumpkin didn't happen.
Speaking of bait, I'm really excited to see all the clicks that Travis got on his little experiment this week. Last week we talked about an Inquirer article that said something along the lines of, are Robert Pattinson and Kirsten Stewart dating again? And then in parentheses it said debunked. But like people were still clicking on it because, you know, hey, they said these two names of people I know. And it just said, yeah, this isn't true. And so we made a page on the website that just goes to a link that says, that's not even true. And throughout the whole week, Travis was posting things. What were some sample headlines, Travis?
Oh, boy. I think one was like... Here's one. President Obama refuses tomorrow's pardoning of the turkey due to the impending Trump presidency.
And then you click on our link, and it says, yeah, that ain't even true. And he did that like 30 times. Did you see a lot of unfollows, Travis?
No unfollows, surprisingly.
I saw a lot of clicks.
Yeah, a lot of clicks. I got I hashtagged Westworld and did like, Westworld producers spill the beans on the extended season finale. And, you know, Robert Kirkman just dropped the biggest Walking Dead spoiler yet.
And then it just goes to a page and says, that ain't true.
That's not true. I actually had somebody, it was super funny, and I was trying to find it. Somebody responded to one of my...
Did they say, fuck you?
Yeah, well, no, it was, oh, God. Oh, I did Axl Rose and talks to take over as frontman for Velvet Revolver, and I linked it to our site. And somebody responded to me while retweeting the link, said, doubt if that will happen. So it just goes to show you what kind of a culture we live in, that people just read the headlines and that's their information.
Well, not only that, but he also retweeted it to a bunch of other unsuspecting saps.
Yeah, right.
It just spreads like a cancer.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Like if there's a zombie outbreak or some kind of like a hypergonosyphilids that goes out and like we're all subject to it, we're all fucking getting it.
Well, let's just say that there's one of those things, and everybody will believe it by tomorrow afternoon.
We're way too stupid to avoid it.
No, all you have to do is make it into clickbait. Say, hey, did you know your neighbor could have the gonosyphil herpalades? Click this link to find out how you can tell.
Yeah, and then you go to a WebMD thing. Like
Drink purple drink.
I had a bit of a cold last weekend, and I was taking Sudafed, and I...
Did you get put on a list?
Well, I shit out... the pill. Like when I shit, like there was a straight up pill in my shit. And I was like, is that a peanut? And I kind of looked at it for a minute and the pill fell out and it looked like completely pristine. There was like nothing wrong with it. I just shit out this pill.
To save money, did you rinse it off and put it back in the bottle?
So I Googled it, you know, as you do. You know, what does it mean when you shit out a pill? And it said that I either have AIDS or Crohn's.
Yeah, of course. Of course. It's either AIDS or cancer or Crohn's disease. Maybe RLS.
Yeah, those were the only options, Travis. Either have AIDS or Crohn's. The only explanation for shitting out a pill is you got AIDS or Crohn's.
Not a freak instance, just you have AIDS or Crohn's.
Or you're shitting water.
So, you know, I freaked out. I called Laura at work. I was like, Laura, fucking got AIDS or Crohn's because, you know, I just shit out a pill. And she said, you talking about the Sudafed? And I said, yeah. She said, everybody shits out the pill. What are you talking about? She said, Google it. And I said, I did. It said I have either AIDS or Crohn's. She said, did you say pill or did you say Sudafed? I said pill. She said Sudafed. So I said Sudafed, and it said, yeah, it's just like the outer shell. It's fine. So I don't have AIDS or Crohn's.
Why don't they put that on the pill? Isn't that information that people should probably be privy to? Is that, hey, taking this product might make you shit out the outer shell of it.
Yeah. So like you get like a little cartoon mascot, like Sammy the Stool. And he has a little word bubble that says, you might find pills in me.
Hey, I'm holding my pal Sudafed the shell.
So you look every time.
I just happened to look drunk. I mean, I don't like look every time, but I just happened to look and I saw a pill in my poop. Yeah. And I was alarmed by it. You don't look at your poop?
No, I'm usually a courtesy flusher. As soon as it hits the toilet, done.
Like every poop?
Every poop.
I am also like that in public, but not at home.
Yeah, I feel weird not doing that, like especially in public.
I finish the job before I flush.
Not me. Like first,
I want to look at it and see how I did.
You want to sit there and marinate your own stench for?
No, I don't want to like look. I don't want to smell it, but I want to see like how much I pooped. How do you get an accurate gauge of how you're doing?
How do you feel?
I think you can feel it. I mean. Yeah.
I mean, you can feel it.
Sometimes do you feel bad?
Sometimes I feel...
Why does this happen all the time?
What?
The conversation devolving into our talking about how we shit.
Travis, this was a traumatizing event for me.
Yeah, but you found out the information you needed, and it's over. Now we're discussing if we take a look at our shits before we flush them.
Drunk only wipes twice.
No
Whenever
matter
I'm in public and there's like a full bullpen, I purposely don't flush.
Drunk does not wipe three times. Whether he needs it or not, he wipes twice and he's done.
Full bullpen. I pretend I'm not there if there's a bunch of people in there. I will not get up. Everybody needs to leave before I leave that restroom.
Travis, do you have anything else you want the people to know before
nope.
we call this a ball game?
Not one thing.
You're done?
Yep, I'm done.
Have you ever had a pill in your poop?
Not that I can remember.
Napier.
Yes, Mike.
Anything you want anybody to know about? Anything you want to make people aware of?
The Blues are playing the Stars tonight. I want the Blues to win.
Drunk, buddy.
Sure. Drunk's pick of the week is this free swag from the Passersby podcast.
It's not bad swag.
Got some beer koozies from Snake Oil Comics. Shout out to Snake Oil Comics. I think I've seen that on the internet before, Travis.
Saginaw, Michigan.
Snake Oil Comics? I don't know this.
Snake Oil Comics. That sounds like something that you might like.
I like comics.
You do like comics.
Real fan.
Guys, we'll do it again next week. Get a pizza job if you need to make some extra cash.
Oh, Mike, did you?
Mike's pick of the week.
Mike's pick get of the week is job. Getting a goddamn pizza job. I'm begging people for fucking money.
So many pizzerias that need delivery people.
You gotta pull yourself up by your bootstraps. You gotta say, God damn it. I value myself enough to get me out of this mess
so
that I've found myself.
So is one better than another? Should you like try to go for a Papa's or a Pizza Hut or a Domino's?
You find a local chain. They'll appreciate it more.
Yeah. Mike, during your Thanksgiving, did you have to go around and tell people what you're thankful for?
No.
I told them I was thankful for the wheelbarrow.
No. The goddamn people in my life, they know that I'm thankful for them. Because if I wasn't, it wouldn't be around.
I feel weird having to do that.
I would discard.
That sounds like a fucking nightmare to actually have to do that in front of people.
Yeah.
Like, hey.
What are we at a business retreat?
I just want you to know I appreciate you. Yeah, I know. That's why we're going to this movie together.
So what if I don't reference everybody in the room when I say what I'm thankful for? Then am I going to get the evil eye the rest of the night? Fuck that.
No, I give joke answers. To let them know how serious I am about being thankful.
Well, that's my mama. If there's fortune that leads your mind, well, I heard it was your time, but I heard it wasn't mine. Now tell me, I should know. Load the dice before you even throw. I should know. Oh, no, no. Tell me, baby, how I could have known.
I want you to know it's over.
Well. Bye.
It's Napier. Join us live Monday nights at 9, 8 central on strangelabel.com. You can listen to back episodes at wfodix.com. Call in. Leave us a voicemail at 636-487-HAND. That's H-A-N-D. Interact with us on Twitter at WFODshow or facebook.com/WFODix. Email your comments to wfodshow@gmail.com. Special thanks to our Patreon sponsors, Brian Kranz, Liquid Lozenge, Harry Balzonia, and Jody B. Come back next week. We'll do this again, probably.
Hey guys, Mike here. We have a Patreon now. Basically, it's a monthly donation type thing. It's stupid, But a bunch of people have one, and ultimately we're just sheep. If you want to give us money to do the same thing we do for free...
Travis!
That'd be nice.
Yes, sir.
We'll say thanks.
The anchor wants extra.
If not, no sweat. This won't change our relationship at all.
Yeah.
You ungrateful fuck faces.
Oh, yeah. Travis.
Yeah.
Sing Anchor a song a cappella.
Bye, Travis. Love you.
He wants it.
Later.
He wants extra.
You'll be a woman soon. Soon.
Bow, 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 bow.
Something in the sun. I don't know. I lost it.
Yeah, that's when it gets fast and I don't know. Anybody knows the words.
No, I don't know any of those words.
It now appears that Shaq is suffering from a neck injury.
Of course we're concerned. That's one valuable neck.
It's not natural.
It's a conspiracy, man.
Shaq is suffering from taco neck syndrome, TNS. It's caused by his craving for delicious Taco Bell tacos. And he's getting worse with every neck-bending bite. But now there's a big breakthrough therapy. The new Big Beef Burrito from Taco Bell. Just 99 cents with double the beef. It is the perfect antidote for taco neck.